pick a window.
Oh, wow. I don't know about the costume, but that's some set of wheels.
Hi, I'm Marv Wolfman, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
You're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast, and I am your host, the radioactive professor of all things comic book, J.C. Carter. Joining me today on the show, my super friends, in the north, our punk pixie, Miss Jocelyn Christensen.
Hi, guys.
And on the bridge of his own private enterprise, our very own Admiral James Tiberius Batman Laird, Jeff Bell.
Hello. My name is Jeff, and I'm addicted to Triscuits.
Fair. Triscuits are delightful.
They really are.
I love them. I love them.
Particularly the garlic ones. Oh.
I could not sleep last night. last night. Got up, had three Triscuits, came back, fell right to sleep.
That's the best sleep aid ever.
Mm-hmm. I was hoping it would be the way too much marijuana I ate, but it was not.
It was not.
No. God, no.
Is there such thing as too much?
Yes.
I've always heard there's no such thing as
I'll tell
too
you what,
much
we watched
marijuana.
We watched a TikTok mm-hmm. last night for a minute, and this guy pops up, and he talks about marijuanas on mm-hmm. his TikTok shows or whatever they're called. Mm-hmm. His talks, right. His ticks.
Whatever.
Anyway, he was at the farmer's market buying some stuff, and a candy vendor gave him a box of gourmet marshmallows.
Nice.
Or should
nice.
I say marshmallows. So he's driving home, and he just starts to eat them. Eat. There were mm-hmm. 20 of them in the box, and he decided to save one of them for his wife. Because he was like, she should try these. They're really good. But it's marshmallows. You just eat them. Turns out each marshmallow was 50.
Oh, shit.
You know, milligrams of THC.
Nice.
And so he had eaten 1,950.
Oh, Jesus.
And what had happened was, is when he decided not to eat the last one, he was closing the lid when he saw the THC warning that he had missed when he started eating them. And he started his little TikTok in the car out in front of his house. And he's like, I'm in trouble. I did something stupid. I got all this shit to do. My wife's going to be pissed because this is not functional high. He called him. He said it was not a functional amount of hippie calories.
No, it was not.
Yeah. He's like, this is a lay down and watch cartoons for 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And then later... He popped up and he had gotten lost on his way mm-hmm. to make dinner, and he was on the trampoline out back. Couldn't quite explain how he got there. He was like, wish me luck. And then he popped up again later and was just gone. It was funny. So yeah, there is too much.
I love it.
There's the too much when your brain is so happy you have to lay down and not move no matter what's going on in the room.
You almost need to be strapped down just because you will not be responsible for what happens.
Oh, no, I didn't need to be strapped down. Fucking gravity took over and would not let me move. I was just a melty mess.
Yeah.
That was rough.
Okay, that would probably be a little much. I'll agree.
Yeah.
I'll agree.
Yeah.
Okay.
However, I could probably use that right about now. That would be...
Ooh. You know where I live.
That would be a lovely little staycation.
Yeah.
Where I don't have to,
true.
I don't have to go anywhere. I don't have to do anything. I can just do that, have a great time, and still be to work tomorrow. A little true. Hungover, you know.
Let's I pretend think that would be... I'm speaking in code and saying I can make that happen.
There you go.
You know, I need to go get some diagnoses. I'm starting to get arthritis pain, and I think that would help.
I'll say that it does. Even
yeah,
though, yeah.
Yeah, That's what all the anecdotal research shows that I keep up on.
That's right. Yeah.
Basically makes it so I don't care about my arthritis.
Mm-hmm. That would be fine too.
But I can see the glaucoma from here, pal. Look at you.
Yeah.
squink.
Coming. It's coming. Age. I read an article the other day about aging, and this guy was like, why? Why did it snowball? It's like, I turned 50, got an injury, and then it was one injury after another.
Yep.
And he said, I went to my doctor. The doctor said, welcome to being 50. And he's like, fuck, really? Because he had been like a fitness junkie. He'd been a marathon guy. I can't remember what his other extreme sports were. And then when he got into his late 40s, early and going into his 50s, he switched over to CrossFit, which is...
Boo.
I mean, you're indoors, but you're killing yourself. You know, that's a lot of muscle work. And he went up with an injury to his ankles and an injury to his wrists. And after that, arthritis set in and everything. He's like, what the hell? Why has this happened right now at 50? And it's like, they were like, yeah. And he will kind of walk you through the whole phenomenon of, this is what happens when you turn 50. And I'm like,
there's no extended warranty.
There is none. It's just pain after pain after pain. It's all kinds of fun. Yeah. I saw a meme that said, Gen X turned at age 10, they turned 30, and they're still 30 at 50 years old.
I like it.
It's true. I still feel like I'm a 30-year-old guy, and I get swell. I don't know if you can see how swollen it is. My index finger right down here. This is all arthritis now. And this is the one you got to work the mouse wheel with, you know, as you're doing the twisty, as you're scrolling. And I'm like, motherfucker.
I literally use this one now.
Yeah. I'm going to have to switch to my middle or my ring finger for it.
You should get
My ring finger is nice and normal and does not hurt yet. So maybe that's the one I'll have to switch to. I don't know.
What you should get is one of these vertical mices.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've got.
Yeah.
Which aid not only with, arthritis pain that's got a habit of hurting when you do a certain repetitive motion.
Yeah.
But it helps relieve wrist tension and lessen the effects of carpal tunnel. It's the reason why my right hand doesn't hurt as much as my left hand all the time.
Mm.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Good to know.
Yeah.
After it was on Friday and it was repetitive motion because I was having to do these things where I'd have to scroll down the page a lot to make sure everything got done right. And it was like just hurting. So after I got done with the project, I just went on and I was like, arthritis mouse. Yeah. I was like, show me the mouse that would work best for arthritis. And I'm like, oh, those are like Jeff has. Those are those carpal tunnel ones like Jeff has. Maybe that'll help me.
So. It's the learning curve is steep, but quick. You get used to it really fast.
Of course, the mouse they showed me is my favorite. Is the Apple mouse that actually acts as a touchscreen. And so you just slide your hand over it to do basically touchscreen stuff instead of having to, you literally don't need to move the mouse. You can do it all just on top of it's like having your phone act as a mouse.
Oh, wow.
And I had that over a decade ago at a company I worked for when I had a Mac. That was my main computer. Because I was the design guy, so they gave me a Mac. And I was like, I couldn't be happier. Thank you. So I'm using this Mac, and I got used to using that mouse. And when I had to switch back to these Microsoft-style ones, I was like, ugh. But, you know, it was old habits, so I was able to fall back into them. But at the same time, I'm like, oh, that would be nice. Not that the government lets you use. They don't want Apple computers at all on their network. Because they have locked down Windows so perfectly, they're like, we don't trust any other operating system.
Well, there you go.
Yep. So what else happened this week, guys?
Nothing. Literally, nothing. It was like the most boring week of my life, I think. No, I can't think of a thing like exciting. It is, you guys. It's my mama's birthday this weekend as we record. Aww. I know.
Happy birthday, Mama.
Happy birthday to Mama. And so I get to go, you guys, to the Utah State Fair.
Mm-hmm.
I have taken my mom to the Utah State Fair for, I don't know, 20 years for her birthday. That's what she wants. She looked at me one day and she said, I don't need more crap. Quit giving me crap. So we take her to the fair and we're going to go. And it's not anywhere near as fun as something in, like, the Wisconsin State Fair. But there's a butter cow and we're going to go see it.
Okay. I'm not saying don't go. I'm not saying don't go. I'm saying if you have the opportunity in your life to go to a state fair in the Midwest, Minnesota, mm-hmm. Wisconsin, Iowa, Idaho, hell, even Idaho. Illinois. Or not Idaho, Iowa.
The Iowa Fair is the biggest fair in the world, basically.
My stepdad grew up, like, they would sneak into the Wisconsin State Fair. He lived so close to the fairgrounds. Mm. Like, they knew the little cutout in the fence. So, I've never gotten to go to the Wisconsin State Fair, but my mom has, and I have heard how wonderful it is.
Yeah, they're nuts. Those fuckers will deep fry anything.
I know.
I keep seeing news stories on Utah News about shit they'll put in the deep fryer, and I'm like, fuck, I ate that 25 years ago in Minnesota.
I love it.
And it was delicious. I am one of the few people I know that has ever had deep fried butter.
Oh,
they make it deep like a corn dog.
Tasty. Yep.
It was so fucking good. And I was so fucking ill because I mean, you're just eating a stick of butter and then shit that might as well be butter.
Right.
Oh,
right.
So ill.
This is butter and butter.
I was happily ill. It was just what I was like, I earned this.
Buttery delicious.
Yeah.
I love it.
Now I've had, you know, the Scots are famous for deep frying every fucking thing. And the deep fried Mars bars.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. At the Scottish Festival, when you can find them at a Scottish festival, and it's not the Scottish festivals here, it's the big ones, like in Estes Park or in Grandfather Mountain, and you get a deep fried Mars bar, and oh my God, it is a delight. So good.
Yeah, they really are.
So delicious.
They really are.
I mean, I feel like a fish and chips restaurant up here in town does a deep fried Mars bar.
I'm sorry, you've got a what now?
The Little Taste of Britain.
Oh, they probably do.
Yeah.
They probably do.
I want to go to there.
Because Mars bars are pretty much only, try to go find a Mars bar on a candy shelf here in the U.S., especially here in Utah. They're hard to find.
But
Britain has them everywhere. Yeah. Britain has them everywhere. Yeah.
SpaghettiOs. No. Pirate-O's.
Pirate-O's has them.
Yeah.
Because they have British candy. Yeah.
Yeah. Little Taste of Britain does do a battered Mars bar. That is deep fried and also a Twinkie. Honestly, my favorite though is their pineapple fritter. So
those are good too.
Deep fried Twinkies are amazing. It is true.
They are. So yeah, if anybody decides to come up to Little Taste of Britain, though, you better like reach out to me because it's down the road from my house, and I'll.
Oh yeah, there you go.
If you're up here and you didn't tell me that.
So what else this week? So the house sold.
Oh, my mother's house sold.
We had to do cash offers because of the whole mom didn't make the house sellable through HUD. And when it's cash offers, those are usually your house flippers, right? And right. I was like, at this point, I just wanted the house out of my hair or lack thereof, out of my beard, I guess. I talked to my niece. She said, "Yeah, I went to the I had to go do the signing, you know, at the closing thing. I had to go to closing and do the signature." And she said, "When I got there, I was told that the buyer was still there." And I looked in the room where the buyer was, and it was a family.
Yay!
Oh, good.
A Hispanic family, Latino family, who were mom, dad, and three kids. And she said, "Oh my God, it's a family." And her realtor said, "Yeah, and they're going to live there."
That's awesome. So that makes me happy.
That's what I wanted. That is exactly what I wanted.
Right.
And so kind of celebration, I told my family, I said, "Well, let's go and take everybody to dinner tonight." And my son was like, "Well, we'll have to go after I get done with my workout." When he gets home at 9 o'clock, after he had to take his friend he works out with shopping, I was like, Jesus Christ, man. We finally, the only place that was open anywhere near us was Sushi Monster, which is okay.
Yeah.
It's decent sushi. It's not the best service. Anyway, I had not been in a sit down, you know, everything done at the table, you know, where you pay at the table, all that kind of stuff, restaurant since before the pandemic.
Oh, wow.
So I did everything. I paid my, you know, paid, left a tip, paid my bill, got up to leave, got up and left. And when I went to Dr. Volt's the next day, I discovered my debit card was still at that restaurant.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Fortunately, I had enough on my credit card. I could pay for my comics. But I was like, I'm like, the only excuse I have is I am so out of practice about going to these kind of restaurants since the pandemic. Oh, my God. It was crazy. I just couldn't believe I did that. And yet, and then I go to get my card. The hostess comes up, says, "So is it just one?" I said, "No, I left my debit card here last night." She said, "I'm sorry, what? Can you describe it?" Wow,
rectangle.
Yeah, I was like,
card.
Well, it was just the fact that she went from to "Can you describe it?" I was like, I don't know how you expected me to any human, let alone deaf guy, but any human being to hear that. I don't know how anybody would have heard that.
Yeah.
Anyway, I described it and she said, "I don't see it. Let me go ask someone." She goes over to the inevitable corner table in any restaurant like this, where two teenage Asian girls are doing their homework. Mm-hmm. And she asks them. And then she kind of wanders off for a minute and then she comes back and I'm just standing there watching the whole thing like, the fuck is going on? Finally, one of those teenage girls who's doing her homework got up, walked over, as she goes looking through the underside of the cash register counter, and she's like, "I only see a blue one. Are you sure you left it here?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm really positive I left it here." And so she goes back over, talks to her, I'll just say sister or whatever other girl is there, who is younger than her. They're getting progressively younger. She comes over, looks under the counter, goes over to the far left for her, and there it is. She pulled it out. She goes, "This it?" I'm like, "Yeah, that's the one." And made sure, you know, my name was on it and left. And I was like, I can't believe you had to get progressively younger. It was just so weird. The whole thing was so weird. I was like, I think it's kind of a, you know, that moment of this is just, you know, Loki laughing at me. It's like, "Ha ha, you're going to forget this. And now, ha ha, look what I'm going to do to you." Yeah. It was crazy. We did move in. The big piece of furniture that we picked up from my mom's that wasn't the thing I wanted, but it was something we decided we wanted to take, was this hide-a-bed couch, because we just needed a bigger couch that didn't require, that wasn't like built for Jocelyn, is what we did. Our old couch, we decided it was built for Jocelyn, and as your knees get tired, you know. So we, by the way, if anybody wants a leather couch and leather chair, it's got minor kitty damage. You can hide if you push it up against a wall. So if anybody wants it, hit me up. We're trying to get rid of them. Yeah. Nice brown leather sofa and chair. Like I said, cats damaged the back corner of the couch a little bit. But like I said, if it goes against the wall, nobody would see it. So. It's mostly pokey holes. It's not big rips like most of the time would happen. So, all right, let's dive into some news.
Oh, shit. We're doing a show.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
Steve Harwell, founding singer of Smash Mouth, dead at 56 of liver failure.
Oh, I hadn't heard what it was. So.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a hell of a way to go.
He was a drinker.
Yeah.
From all reports, Steve Harwell was a serious drinker. And yeah, his liver was like, "Yeah, I'm done." Yeah.
Yep. He retired from music in 2021. He was at a Big Sip Festival in Bethel, New York. Captured on video, slurring his words, threatening the audience, and giving the middle finger to his fans.
That's never a good look, man.
Yep. His rep said that he had Wernicke encephalopathy.
Wernicke's encephalopathy?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That's bad.
That'll kill you.
That's the drinkins.
Yep.
That's yeah, that's the Drinkins. That's the I'm afraid of DT's Drinkins level liver poisoning. Yeah. And yet Shane McGowan is still living. He's still kicking around. And that guy would fall off the stage at Pogues concerts, you know, having drunk so much. So, yeah. But then he's pure Irish, so, you know, nothing will faze his liver.
Yeah, everything's coated in aluminium inside.
Exactly.
Gary Wright, dead at 80. And you're like, who?
Yeah,
he's
who?
The dude that sang Dreamweaver.
Aww.
Yeah.
He's a Dreamweaver.
Not that guy.
Oh.
Singing Dreamweaver. You.
Oh, that
yeah,
guy.
Yeah,
okay.
That wasn't Gary Wright. That was just,
no, I don't have Gary Wright's voice. No.
Nope. I've been in the car with you on long trips. I do. You throw back. We used to just jump in a buddy's car and drive to Heber, and we'd throw on whatever latest Broadway musical was a smash at the time. And then everybody, mm-hmm. usually five or six folks, would just start singing at the top of their lungs. And I'll tell you, in my group of friends, not a lot of tune carrying.
Nope.
The ladies all could sing, but they all sang like they were in church.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
They sang quiet. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, very choiry with lots of false vibrato.
Yes.
Now I got Phantom of the Opera in my head. God damn it! anyway, the Dreamweaver, 80 years old, passed away. Been battling Parkinson's disease and Lewy body dementia for the last 6 years.
Oof.
I don't know what that is, but it sounds fucking awful, especially when you name it after somebody.
Yeah, it's not fun. Lewy body dementia is mean and terrible. Ugh. Most dementias are, but yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Lewy body dementia is what killed Robin Williams.
I was reading an article on that. It contributed to his suicide.
It contributed to his suicide because it makes you basically have these thoughts. And they discovered in his autopsy that he had Lewy body dementia or the beginnings of it.
Well, yeah. It makes you feel like you're losing your mind because you're getting so forgetful, and then, mm-hmm. especially in the beginning stages.
Oh,
so,
I've had that for years.
Yeah.
Apparently. Yeah. All right. Trigger warning. Honestly, we're going to talk about Danny Masterson for a few minutes.
So if
you hate that kind of thing, and by all means, you know, skip ahead. I'll try and keep it to 3 or 4 minutes, and... you can join us on the other side of the news. How's that? Danny Masterson, which means I'm starting now. So
right.
You've been fair. Trigger warning said. Danny Fairly Masterson warned. Has been sentenced to 30 years to life in prison for a double rape conviction. Best known
Good
for
on
starring
him.
In the Fox sitcom That 70s Show and Netflix's The Ranch. Convicted, on 2 of 3 forcible rape charges. He was accused of raping 3 women at his Hollywood Hills home between 2001 and 2003 during his time on That 70s Show. So he did the bad thing. And unlike when it happens in Utah, he got the sentence that he had coming.
Yep.
I think what amazed me about the whole story is that those accusations are from 20 years ago?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 15, at least the first one is from 20 years ago. Yeah, absolutely. Here's the thing. Much like Utah, his religion, he used his religion to cover it up. Because they were all Scientologists. Because he's a Scientologist. He was at a high tier level in Scientology. Because they seem to love to let the celebrities have high tier levels. And
Thetans on me.
Look at look at you, Travolta and Tom Cruise. But he had a high position in Scientology, and he used that position to cover up, to basically quiet them, to quiet their anything they had to say, and it took them that long to come forward because it was a violation of whatever bullshit tenant he told them it violated to talk about it. And they finally were brave enough to come forward. It took them a while, but at least in California, there's no statute of limitations to that. You know, that it would, after 10 years, you can't report it or anything. No, they could report it, and I'm glad they did.
Right.
Yeah.
So a bunch of famous folks wrote letters of support to the judge to talk about what an absolute peach old Danny Masterson was, including Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher, who have put out a weird little video. We watched it last night, and it made me terribly uncomfortable. But yeah, they describe Masterson as an outstanding older brother figure, dedicated, loyal husband, excellent role model, a stark contrast to the predator who drugged and raped defenseless women that his victims have labeled him.
Sure. I mean, you see is one side, but I mean, that's just that he was very good at covering his crime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
You can be a bad guy and still do good things.
Right. Yeah. Both things can be true. Things can be inherently true. You can have a guy who is a decent human being to his friends and family, who does the right thing, who says the right thing, and who is still a rapist who drugs and rapes people.
How many times after serial killers are finally caught do their neighbors say, oh, well, he was such a quiet man. We would never have thought that, he was so kind. He was so nice. He took care of the neighborhood and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, they have to cover their crime. And this is how they do it, by making you think that they're sweet, charming people.
Ted Bundy. Everybody said Ted Bundy was just charming and delightful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, I don't know. I just, ugh. Gross. Yeah. Gross, gross, gross. And I'm glad that he got convicted
I'm glad the judge did not take any of their words into account when it came to his conviction.
Right.
So that 70s show fans are saying that because of the conviction, Topher Grace is vindicated from rumors he was just too pretentious to hang out with the cast.
Mm-hmm.
After the conclusion of the trial, Topher Grace has been vindicated from rumors that he was too stuck up to hang out with his castmates. For years, rumors swirled about why Topher, because that's what I'm going to call him, didn't appear to be close with the rest of the cast. Topher also departed the show early, a year before the sitcom ended, though he did show back up for a brief cameo in the finale.
Well, Kutcher left at the same time, if not the year before that. So,
I didn't watch past the first season, so I honestly
don't
know. I was going to say, I didn't know that he left, or I didn't know Topher Grace left early. That seems interesting to me, because I felt like he was kind of the main character of the show. But...
Well, it's the irony that he basically pulled a Ron Howard in leaving the show, but unlike with Happy Days, which wound up getting, three more seasons without Ron Howard, Richie Cunningham being the main character.
Yeah.
And if you watched even one episode of that 70s show and think about the most popular show in the 70s, which was Happy Days, Topher Grace is the Richie Cunningham character. Yeah. And the problem was that there was no real Fonzie, except for, as I throw up in my mouth a little bit, Danny Masterson's character.
Yeah.
And, He didn't have what they had with Fonzie, so it didn't work. And they wound up him leaving the show killed it. They went one extra season and they killed it. But Kutcher left as well, which was another thing. If Kutcher had stuck with the show, I think it might have gotten the 3-season treatment like Happy Days did. But because Kutcher left about the same time, that was it. There was nothing for people to watch. Both the heart of the show, the central character of the show was gone, and the guy that everybody tuned in to watch was gone. So
Right.
That was the end of that show. As far as I was, I'm like, well, that's the end of that show if they both left.
So Topher has been unavailable for comment, both him and his mm-hmm. representatives. However, his wife, what's her name? Ashley Hineshaw, mm-hmm. Posted an Instagram that says, to every rape victim that is re-traumatized by witnessing society debate and focus on their attention on what is going to happen to the rapist, I see you, heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it is important to not only pay attention to how you talk, but to keep an eye, dudes, I'm talking to you. We're having a little mm-hmm. little mansplaining here. But, you know, when your buddies say something stupid, it's your job to tell them that they're being stupid and that they sound like a fucking moron.
Yeah.
Just that's nothing changes without we change ourselves. And that is it for the news.
We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're talking moving pictures.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? Would you notice a 16-year-old boy who got his first job?
Not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters?
Or a mother who's in between jobs and sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner? I am the one in eight Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Elena Huffman, Abaddon on Supernatural, and you are listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
There's nothing wrong with your television. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are now controlling the transmission. We control the horizontal and the vertical. We can deluge you with 1,000 channels or expand one single image to crystal clarity and beyond. Please stand by.
So, what have you been watching on the moving pictures this week, Joss?
Oh my God, you guys, we watched Teen Wolf. Do you guys remember Teen Wolf from like 1986? No, when did it come out? 85?
86.
Was it 86? Okay.
Yep, I'm glad it was I got 86. That
right. With Michael J. Fox? What mm-hmm. a piece of garbage movie that is.
There is.
I loved it when it came out. We watched it. It was very nostalgic. It has not aged very well. There are really cringy things going on in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was still kind of funny and delightful, though. So
there's if you ever listen to the podcast Smartless, this is peripheral to Teen Wolf. Will Arnett giving Jason Bateman shit for Teen Wolf 2 is a running gag that is so fucking hilarious. I can't stand it.
I love it. I love it.
So if you haven't seen Teen Wolf 2, also worth the pain. Oh, okay, yeah, that reminds me. I watched a movie I've never seen before mm-hmm. and fucking hated it, and it's beloved.
Mm-hmm.
But all means, carry on. I apologize. I interrupted.
No, you're fine. You're fine. And then we somehow we managed to watch the first two Lord of the Rings trilogy movies, but not the third. So I might need to watch that tonight because we watched Fellowship and then we watched Two Towers.
Extended, I'm sure.
Oh, yes, of course. Oh. Of course. And when I say watched, I made it through most of the movies. I've seen them 100 billion times, so it's okay. And then, of course, I did watch Ahsoka this week, which
good.
I know you guys both watched as well. So, Jeff, what else did you watch besides Ahsoka?
Every time we put on a movie, I watch Tiffany Fall Asleep.
Hey, you know what? We have a lot going on in our worlds.
She has movie-induced narcolepsy. It doesn't matter what time it is. I turn on a movie and she is out.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't like my movies. Speaking of, look, sometimes you watch a beloved movie, a movie that people adore and brag upon and do little happy dances and things about, and you go, what the fuck?
Did you watch Justice League?
No. I don't know anybody doing a happy dance about Justice League. No.
Well, Snyder heads.
Anchorman.
Yeah. Anchorman. Oh.
Terrible fucking movie.
Yeah, and...
You know, it didn't live up to its hype for me either.
No.
I mean, I didn't see it when it came out, and everybody was quoting it and quoting it and quoting it. And I was like, huh, maybe I'll watch this movie. And then when I watched it, I was like, well, I guess I've heard all the quotes now so many times, it's not even going to make me chuckle.
Right.
And right. And the rest of it's a dumb movie. Yeah.
Yeah. So I did not like. Watched the last weekend of the Premier League games. They're going into the international break right now, whereas Major League Soccer, when the rest of the world goes into international break, they don't. They just keep playing without their international players.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Inter Miami still won, which was pretty cool. That's Messi's team.
Ah,
they
nice.
They were the pink.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know what to do about Champion League and international play for this week. So if anybody knows where to find those, please let me know. I do have a VPN. What else? Oh, Wheel of Time is back on Amazon Prime.
Hmm.
And as long as I pretend, this is, you know, how I have come to terms with the Constantine movie. As long as I pretend that this isn't based on a series of books I absolutely adore, it's a good show. I like it. But every time they're like, the Wheel of Time, I'm like, oh, yeah, you guys are ruining something I love.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good show that has so little to do with the fucking books. They just are borrowing names. It's like fanfic almost.
Oh, wow.
But I'm enjoying it. I like it. Some fanfic's okay. Some slash fic's all right. So, you know, this has a little of both. But I, like I said, I like it. And the goofy shit they've done, some of it's worked out okay, and some of it hasn't, and that's just how TV works. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they're making TV shows out of beloved fantasy books, you know, is something I support. Also watched The Dresden Files in their entirety this week.
Yeah?
With commercials, because why not? I have a DVD of them, but I don't have a DVD player on the bedroom TV. So.
I was going to say, did I bring back that DVD to you?
I think so.
I thought I did. Yeah, I thought I did.
Yeah, so watch those. And honestly, it's been so long, I barely remembered any of it. Mm-hmm. And so, the effects in that mm-hmm. did not age.
Did
I don't imagine
well
they looked
all.
Good at the
no,
time,
they did
I got
to
be honest.
The best episode is Stormfront, and that took them almost half a season to get to it.
Yeah.
And that one is actually trying to bring a Dresden book to life, you know, on screen. And I was like, this is so much. I loved it so much. And I was like, oh my God. And yet I felt like I had to slog through all the other ones, and I didn't mind the episodes as much. The
yeah.
other ones.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it was like, yeah, you've changed so much from what is in the book that I was hoping we'd have more of the stuff in the book. I like Terrence Mann. I think I've enjoyed him as an actor since I first saw him in Critters back in the 80s. And by the way, Critters, currently streaming on HBO Max right now. it's such a bad movie. But Terrence Mann's in it, and I just get a kick out of it. But anyway, I like Terrence Mann, but I wanted Bob the Skull, not Bob the Ghost. So, yeah.
Right.
There were just little moments like that that I was like, you're pulling me away from it. But, yeah, you finally get, like, you actually see the house, you know. It was like Harry's office becomes more of Harry's house. And all this stuff, it just works so much better in that one episode. And then the rest, and then they go back to the regular stuff. And I honestly didn't like it when I first saw it. I stopped watching before I even got to Stormfront. And then Jeff told me, no, you need to watch it because you want to get to the Stormfront episode. I'm like, okay. And then I saw, you know, Arrow, the guy who played Dresden was in Arrow. He was Detective Drake. And I was like, or Detective Lance.
Detective Lance.
Yeah. And Detective Lance. And I was like, okay, I'm going to watch it. Now that I've watched him enough times in Arrow, and I've got to like him as an actor, I'm going to watch him play Dresden, and now and I was able to enjoy it a little more. But yeah,
I liked it. I had a good time. I over imbibed a couple of nights on purpose, and that was what Tiffany let me watch.
There you go.
She got some good sleep. You know, that was nice. And then, of course, Ahsoka. So, you want to start out talking about that and move into yours?
Yeah, let's talk about Ahsoka.
Ahsoka. Episode was too short.
Always.
This one I enjoyed. You know, it's like, you know, they didn't listen to the doctor. And this is what happens when you don't listen to the doctor. Because as far as I'm concerned, the droid's the doctor. It's just, you know, Doctor Who with in a droid body. but yeah, you don't listen to the doctor. This is what happens to you. Yeah, I'm like, well, this is going to be interesting to call the show Ahsoka. And we've really separated the two lead characters in this way. I'm like, maybe she'll actually be there. I don't know. It's the ending bit. I don't know that they needed to do the aging thing on him, the de-aging thing on him. You know, like
I thought
like
it looked all right. He's a dream.
Yeah. But I also thought that they, you know, if he's really a Force ghost, maybe we could, you know, see him aged a little bit, which I always thought they should have done anyway. When Lucas remade Jedi and he put him at the end instead of the actor who played him in the final scene, I always thought that they should have had them morph down into their aged counterparts, you know. So yeah, it didn't quite work for me, but yeah, it was fun to see that. And then yeah, otherwise, Hera breaking the rules, I was happy about that, because that's kind of a thing for her. And everybody else just do their thing. It was, I don't know, I enjoyed the show. I enjoyed the episode.
Yeah, I really liked it. I had a great time. It just makes me happy.
Oh, and seeing our X-Wing pilot back, that was fun too.
Yes.
I'm like, can he just be the thread through all these little series you want to do?
Right.
Because that would be a lot of fun for me.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
No, I did. I enjoyed the episode. I liked all the characters that showed up. It was a good time. It was too short, which is super frustrating.
I agree.
Yeah. Yep.
It was slightly longer than last week's, which was also too short. So, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, here's Jon Favreau going, "You're still going too long. I can do mine in a half an hour and put so much more story into it."
Yeah. Well, and I'm coming into Ahsoka. I didn't really watch Rebels. I didn't really watch. I haven't really watched the animated series.
Right.
Yeah, neither have I.
Right. So I sometimes feel like I'm a little bit behind on that front. But I feel like they're also doing a good enough job of kind of explaining that backstory.
Yeah.
But I don't need to go back and watch all of that.
Here's what you do. You come down to a comic book shop. Okay. And you say, "Oh, yeah, no, I really haven't watched Rebels at all." And then out of nowhere in an empty store,
will I summon someone who can tell me all about it?
Like a demon.
Yeah.
And then 2 hours later, once you've wrapped up, you know, the similarities with Babylon 5,
and you've gone through the spreadsheet presentation, yes.
Yeah. Then you have a much better, like, I know where Thrawn has a birthmark. I'm just saying, boy, these lads can talk.
The thing, though, is that as a woman, I know better than to walk into any comic book shop and say that I don't know anything about something, because I've had that treatment and I don't enjoy it. So yeah. I just do my own research at home. It's way simpler.
There's a certain amount of derision when you are carrying you're not carrying the Y chromosome. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or the X-Wing chromosome.
Or the X-Wing chromosome.
But yeah, no, I did it the other day to a gentleman, and I was not kidding. He talked for an hour and 20 minutes.
He, I, Yeah.
He walked through everything
from when you're a serious Star Wars fan, it's like asking me a Star Trek question. Yeah.
Right. Like, there are those guys, and I love them for it because they mm-hmm. do. They know those ins and outs, and I've got not just you two, but I've got several other friends that I can go to and ask mm-hmm. as well. I just choose not to because I don't want the 2-hour lecture.
I've only seen like I think an episode of Rebels, just to know that Hera should be breaking rules more often. But yeah, that's all I really know about Rebels.
Well, and that's the thing is, I asked my. So for those of you who don't know, I actually do have 2 children. Mm. I don't talk about the one very often. But I asked them.
He's the disappointment.
No, it's not. But I asked if they ever watched the cartoons, because I specifically remember Kea watching them. So like mm-hmm. they were on at the house.
Right.
And I've seen pieces.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't remember watching them either. So I don't, maybe Kea just watched them and I just caught bits and pieces. I don't know, but yeah. So there you go.
Well, they were little when Kea would have been watching them. So
right.
They may not remember. Yeah.
That is true. That is true. They're 20. They're 19 now, not 20.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Anyway. All right. That's all.
Let's see. What else did I watch this week? What We Do in the Shadows has come to an end. The ending was so good, and it made so much sense when it was done, for what they had to do to resolve the issue of the entire season. But oh my God, it was hilarious. And we end the episode. It was really brilliantly done. And now I'm disappointed because I don't know when I'll see another one with all the strikes and everything, you know. Reservation Dogs, they made sense of that making sense of that Weird 70s episode, and just basically more good stuff. Just enjoying that show. I'm sad it's its final season. We did watch Harley Quinn. Caught up to that one, and we're also watching Fiona and Cake on Max. This one's interesting because I don't know if you're familiar with the Adventure Time cartoon animated series. Yes. There was these characters, basically a gender bent world of Adventure Time with Fiona and Cake instead of Finn and Jake. And you know, all the female characters that Finn, you know, had was around were all male characters and everything. It was really fun. Anyway, these were all supposedly taught to us, you know, told us in tales by the Ice King, who is insane. We find out why he was telling those tales by the 4th episode. And it's just, you know, the whole thing is just really cool. The fact that Fiona and Cake are still a thing, they still exist, everything. It's just really cool. So yeah, we're enjoying it. Let's see, there was Star Trek Day, the 30-minute presentation for Star Trek Day that was obviously pre-recorded because they were like, we got to get this pre-recorded before these actors go on strike. Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically you had, Jerry O'Connell hosting, with his big stupid grin the whole time.
Well, you know, he is married to Rebecca Romijn.
Yeah.
Of course he's going to have a stupid
grin. Together?
Oh, yeah. They're still married.
I didn't know that.
He's going to have a stupid grin the rest of his life. And then you had a quick thing with, I can't remember her name, who plays, Beckett Mariner on Lower Decks. But her and the guy, the other actor who plays Rutherford, did a thing where they looked at weird Star Trek episodes and kind of made fun of them. And I liked that part. That was fun. I enjoyed that bit. And then they did a thing with the drag queen from the last Star Trek Day. She was in New York kind of doing man on the street stuff with people. Asking them, you know, and she was seriously looking for people who said they never watched Star Trek. And she'd say, name one captain from Star Trek. and they could name them. Or she'd say, what salute is this? You know, and they could say it. She's like, see, you like Star Trek. You're a Star Trek fan. And it was just kind of a cute little thing that they did. Obviously, this was meant to interject in between like a live presentation like they did last year. But since they're all on strike, there was going to be no live presentation. So he's cut it all together into one big thing. And Jerry O'Connell was the host for the whole thing. So it was weird. It was last year. It was too long. And there was so much that was boring. This year, it was too short. And I wanted more. So, you know, what am I going to do? Everybody's on strike. But that led into Lower Decks, Lower Decks, Lower Decks. First of all, fuck you, Paramount Plus. Lower Decks is only going to be 10 episodes. Don't drop two. I want this to stretch out over 10 weeks, not suddenly have just two episodes I got to watch.
Yeah, and I want it all now.
You want them all now.
I want them all now.
I want it to give me something to enjoy over the next 10 weeks. Instead, I got 9 weeks to enjoy it. But yeah, they were both episodes, fantastic episodes. We're seeing growth in the characters. Everybody gets promoted to Lieutenant Junior grade, which is hilarious. It's just everything's, you know, and the funny thing is I didn't expect to see a ton of growth in characters on an animated series. Looking at you, Simpsons. How many years of Simpsons? 30 plus years, and the characters have literally never grown, right?
Right.
They're always going to be these characters, and yet it's still a working model, and people still love the show. With Lower Decks, they're actually showing growth in the characters. They're going to advance. They're going to grow, and I like that. There was a really good in the second episode. There was this really good moment where Mariner. We actually see her show growth, and it was like, wow, I didn't expect this in a show of this level of comedy, you know, that this would happen. It was really smartly done. So I'm liking Lower Decks even more now because they're allowing growth for their characters, which I didn't expect to see, to be honest. What's his name? Boimler is still Boimler in every way. There's a whole thing about, you know, getting the right quarters. Now that he's Lieutenant Junior grade, he can have quarters instead of sleeping on the bunks in a hallway. So, but him just trying to find good quarters on the ship is hilarious because Lieutenant Junior grade, you're still Lower Decks, basically. You just, you know, you don't have to sleep in bunks. You can have a room. And it was just funny. The whole thing was just delightful. Yeah.
Good. I'm glad.
So let's do some TV news.
Got a breaking news rumor.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
That I got to admit, a part of me hopes is true, but it is being reported that Warner Brothers has lost Aquaman 2 on their servers.
What?
Yeah.
Is this their attempt at another write-off?
I don't know.
Saying that it's a write-off?
Don't even know if it's true. Like I said, it's just a breaking rumor that Aquaman 2 might have accidentally been deleted.
Oh,
that's hilarious.
I hope somebody's got a fucking thumb drive.
Yep.
I just pictured like somebody putting a videotape in the VCR and pushing record.
And it's a Rick Astley video?
Yeah, and it was Aquaman 2, but they're recording, like, The Simpsons over top.
Yeah.
I just... Here's where it is for me, is that's where they're at. Where this is a believable rumor, because Warner Brothers is so fucked up right now.
It's true.
And so it's just like, wow. This can't be true. But
it's funny. It must. I Googled Aquaman 2. Okay, here are the top stories. I'm just going to read the headlines. Rumor: Warner Brothers has given up on Aquaman 2. Aquaman 2 has already hit the rock bottom as studio film feels it is a bad film and ... Just looking at the headlines. I'm not going to click into them. Rumor: Warner Brothers not marketing Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. Another one. I'll lose money. Aquaman 2's lack of trailer and promotions ahead of time. They know it'll lose money. Industry Insider report says James Gunn's DCU Basically, yeah. All 30 seconds of Aquaman 2 footage released in 4 months trailer. Aquaman 2's first look at supervillain's full suit design revealed. Yeah, it's just, you know, one positive one out of all these other ones from different, you know, like Screen Geek, Fandom Wire, Screen Rant, you know, and all of it. There's just one positive one. Hey, check out the villain's suit in Aquaman 2. So, yeah, I'm thinking they might be lost on purpose. James Gunn might have walked in and went, so this is the final cut in the copy. Oh, yeah. Delete.
Yep. Oops, I have spilled my coffee.
Yep.
September 8th last week was Star Trek Day.
Yes, it was.
This celebrates the anniversary of the air date of the first Star Trek, the original series episode, The Man Trap, 1966. Mm-hmm. A few years later, in 1973, I certainly remember, mm-hmm. The first episode of Star Trek, the animated series, was released on September 8th.
Yep.
Yeah.
Big 50-year celebration for it. In fact, one of the things they're doing is they're calling them really short treks, and I think they're working with the guy who did a couple of those. He basically took out old episodes of TNG and Voyager and did the animation treatment to make them look like the 70s animation, the Filmation animation. And they're delightful. They're hilarious. The first episode they dropped of the very short treks, not as good. Not as good. It was funny to start, and then it went over the top, and then it got dumb. And I was like, yeah, I'm not liking this.
Anyway, this is a fun little article you can pop over to. Mm-hmm. comicbookpodcast.com to read, and they basically are talking to a bunch of people involved in the show about their favorite episodes.
They're saying, what are your favorites? Not just what are the best episodes, what are your favorites?
Yep.
And I agree with so many of these, like Wedge Dudge, I don't know how you say it, it's Vulcan, but it was an episode of Lower Decks where we actually see Lower Decks on other ships. And then somehow they wound up kind of coming converging in some way, and it was just funny as hell. Loud as a Whisper, still one of my top five favorite episodes of TNG. And it's dumb, but I fucking love it because it was a deaf actor went to Roddenberry and said, "You've got Geordi LaForge, why don't you do something with a deaf actor, with a deaf character?" And he wrote this episode called "Loud as a Whisper" about a deaf negotiator, arbiter who used a chorus to speak for him, and they get killed, and he's got to figure out how to go on, not just with the mission, but with his life. And it was just so really cool. Howie Seago turned in a really great performance, and it was just such a cool episode. Still one of my top five favorite episodes of TNG.
I noticed that the list is lacking in mention of a certain genius piece of film work. Mm-hmm. Star Trek V.
Yep.
The Final Frontier.
More Star Trek VI than anything, really, for the old series.
Star Trek VI was fine.
Yep.
Five.
They did hit our one of our favorite Discovery episodes, Stormy Weather, where they were trapped in that void.
Uh-huh.
And just that episode alone, it was just so good in general. And it was like, yes, thank you for putting that in.
Yep.
Bar Association. I watched that the other day on the Star Trek 2 channel. Bar Association is where in Quark's bar, basically, they form a union, which is against the Ferengi, you know, beliefs in any way. And they form a union. And I'm like, this should be played right now nonstop on those big monitors they have up in Hollywood, all over LA, just nonstop to talk about the importance of unions, because it really does click into all these things that are important about unions, and it was just brilliant. Yeah, absolutely brilliant.
Absolutely brilliant. Jimmy yeah. Fallon apologized to the Tonight Show staff after a Rolling Stone report stated that it was a toxic work environment. Rolling Stone investigated the workplace environment at the Tonight Show, starring Jimmy Fallon. Showrunner Chris Miller addressed employees in a Zoom call Thursday evening. Rolling Stone spoke to two current and 14 former staffers that said that Fallon's erratic behavior and the show's ever-changing leadership teams had fostered an unhealthy work environment. Some employees say their mental health has been impacted by their alleged experiences, and many employees say they have made complaints to HR. Two employees who were in the meeting say that Fallon apologized and said he did not intend to create that type of atmosphere for the show. It's embarrassing, and I feel so bad. Sorry if I embarrassed you and your family and friends. I feel so bad I can't even tell you. According to employees who say the message from Fallon was felt pretty earnest, he acknowledged the amount of turnover at the Tonight Show has had in regard to showrunners. They say if Fallon emphasized that current showrunner Chris Miller is a great leader and isn't going anywhere. I want the show to be fun, he said. It should be inclusive to everybody. It should be the best show. Now I'm wondering if the other four are going to bust his balls on the Strike Force 5 podcast.
Yeah.
They should.
I didn't think I was going to go back and listen to that anymore, but now I am.
I'm very curious if they're going to say, are you drunk today, Jimmy?
Yeah. Yeah, did you make any staffers cry, pal?
Yeah.
Samuel Jackson will be playing the President of the United States in The Beast.
He's got my vote.
Yep.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, according to Deadline, the upcoming WME independent package, which is in pre-production, has an interim agreement from SAG-AFTRA, will also star the Suicide Squad actor Joel Kinnaman as a Secret Service agent Taft. Film's title refers to a presidential limousine that has been nicknamed the Beast by the Secret Service due to its armor plating, bullet and bomb proofing, and being stocked with grenades and shotguns. So James Madigan will be at the helm from The Beast. So, yeah.
That's where the work is.
That's going to be a little bottle episode, like Payphone. Remember Payphone?
Mm-hmm.
It was Colin Farrell. Basically, the whole fucking movie was him on the phone and things happening around him. That was a good movie.
It was a great movie.
Yeah. New York Comic Con. Got some stuff that's going to be there, including Scott Pilgrim. Hulu will be there. Funko, Bandai, Marvel, Penguin Random House, Scholastic, AWA, Vault, and others. Artist Alley will have Cameron Carnero, Jenny Frizzen, Gene Haw, Daryl DMC Daniels, Peach Momoko, Humberto Ramos, Scott Snyder, Charles Soleil, James Tinian IV, and even more.
Wow.
Yep. Guests include Chris Evans, Ewan McGregor, David Tennant, Jodie Whittaker, Susan Sarandon, Tim Curry, John Carpenter, C. McMoore, Rachel Smythe, Chris Claremont, Rick Remender, George Jimenez, Greg Capullo, Scott Snyder, Tom Taylor, Cassandra Clare. Futurama will be screening. There's a lot going on. Futurama will be screening new episodes. Max Presents Scavenger's Reign. Bloomfest will be there. Bloomhouse founder Jason Blum. Let's see, what else we got? Goosebumps. FX's Archer will have an exclusive screening of their last of an episode of their last season. Jose Andres, who cares? Why do I need a cooking show at Comic-Con? You know what I mean?
I'm just not disagreeing.
Let's pay a little more attention to that Artist Alley thing they mentioned earlier.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
We have to do the star-fucking thing. This is what this article is about, is star-fucking.
Yep. Yeah. Scott Pilgrim takes off. Series creators Brian Lee O'Malley and Ben David Grebinski. Oh, I don't care. I don't care. Matthew Vaughn's Argyle, Master of Madness, is going to be there. Monsters at Work. Perry Jackson and the Olympians. That actually looks pretty good. I've seen some behind-the-scenes stuff for those. And a fuck ton of Funko. Funko. Not so Funko. Funko.
Lots of Funko.
I have way more Funko than I
want.
You skipped
over the Krepopolis thing, which I was like, what is this? Do I care? Do I care? And then I hear Matt Berry's voice, and I was like, okay, I care.
All right, you're fair. You're fair on that.
Because Matt Berry cracks me the fuck up. That's why I love What We Do in the Shadows, the series. And I'm like, I wonder how many of these guys could get away with showing up at this con for that panel, because they're all British actors, and so they're not necessarily fully bound by the rules of SAG-AFTRA. I guess if they have SAG-AFTRA standing, they can't show up, but I think they mostly cast British actors for this this little series,
for
as the voice actors, so it'd be interesting to see.
That's it for the news.
All right. One little piece of video game news that I forgot to mention in the opening bit. So back in 2016, Jeff showed me this game on his phone called DC Legends. And it was a really cool little game. You basically got these heroes. You had to get them through different things. You'd get like pieces, what they called hero fragments, and eventually you'd get the full hero. And you use hero fragments to build them up and everything. And the animation in the game was pretty good, was really good actually. And it just was a fun little, here's your daily quest kind of game. Mm-hmm. You do your daily things and you'd be done. And I think I'm the last man standing.
Yeah. yeah.
I continued playing the game. I've got every character now that they've introduced at any point in the game. Not that I play them all. Because it's usually a squad of four, and I stick to like the ones I know are going to kick ass. But yeah, they announced on Friday that they were ending it. That the game, they'll be shutting off the servers at the end of October. So if you're playing DC Legends like I have been, and you didn't see that message, end of October, game will no longer be playable. It's gone. I'm glad I did not spend very much money on that game.
There you go.
No kidding.
Yeah. Because there was a lot of pay to win kind of stuff for the game. I did spend some money for, I think, two characters just to make sure I got them, and I got them at a high level. One was John Constantine.
Same.
And the other was Nightwing. When they finally released the question, Renee Montoya, they did a quest that built her up fast. So I wound up with an advanced question by the time it was over with. And I was like, thank you for doing that. Otherwise I was like counting pennies going, can I spend the money to buy her upgrade? You know, cause the question being my favorite character from DC, I was like, I gotta have her. And I've played her. She's actually pretty decent. Particularly when you got speedsters, because she has a thing where she analyzes everybody and it slows them down. They can't attack as quickly. So it's really handy, because sometimes their initiative just beats you and you just get your ass kicked. And it was like having her was really handy. So, yeah, it's been a really good game. I've enjoyed it. It'll last, like I said, through the end of October. If you've not played it, well, I don't recommend getting started now. You'll just be frustrated, but as a mobile game, I enjoyed the hell out of it. I actually put it up when I got my tablet. I put it on my iPad because the memory debt was a lot higher on my iPhone, my old iPhone. So I stopped playing it on my iPhone and moved it to my tablet. I've been playing it there ever since, daily. I do daily play, and that'll be ending soon. So it's a bummer. They just introduced Kite Man as one of the characters, and that makes me happy.
Oh,
that
makes fun.
It makes me chuckle. Yeah, and he's actually a decent character once you build him up enough. He's really good.
Yeah, mine with that was I caught myself spending money and was like, nope, we're done.
Yeah, because if you do it too many times, you're going to start just dumping cash. And then that's the problem, I guess, is not enough of us were paying cash for this game. And yeah, we were still able to advance pretty well just by waiting for the game to get us, you know, the extra gold or whatever we needed to pay for things. But yeah, I guess they weren't making money, and the game has just gotten buggier and buggier as they've gone. You know, they have to constantly patch it, and they've just decided to end it. So
yeah,
it's a shame.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
There was another game like that I was playing for a while, Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah. I remember that game,
and I found myself spending money and was like, nope, no more of this.
Yeah, and the Star Trek game I liked started out buggy, And that one was very similar to DC Legends in that you had a squad of four that would go on missions and stuff. But it was so buggy you would crash the game halfway through playing it. And it was built for Apple first, and I don't know that they've ever gotten it off the Google Play Store because it was so fucking buggy they can't get it to work even on the Apple side of it. So yeah. Anyway. Just wanted to share that as some video game news that we haven't had for a while. But we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're talking comics.
My name is Peter Davison. I played the Fifth Doctor, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Neil Armstrong waited 6 hours and 39 minutes to step onto the surface of the moon. Jackie Robinson waited 20 months to play his first game with the Brooklyn Dodgers. And even DiCaprio had to wait 22 years to win an Oscar. You can wait until your destination. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Kevin Eastman, co-creator of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and you're listening to me on the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Wah, wah, wah!
Let's have some comic book news.
Comic book news. There's not a lot of it this week. DC's rolling out Batman villains forming a supergroup. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
I guess.
The last few years of Batman comic storylines have seen Gotham conquered by Bane and the Joker for certain periods of time, while Batman's been just fucked up.
In this last issue of Batman 127, you saw the formation of that group. And I guess so the plot line is that Selina Kyle decided to help all the henchmen that would inevitably work for these different villains. She was taking the henchmen away from the villains by training them to be thieves. And Batman's having none of it. So that's what this whole Gotham War is about that we're dealing with in Batman and Catwoman together. And it's just cool. But the idea is she's taking their henchmen away, so they're teaming up because they got no henchmen to help them.
All right.
Yeah.
It was fun. But that's Batman 137 on sale now at a comic book shop near you. Birds of Prey's newest era is underway.
Mm-hmm.
The team of DC heroines is assembling again for a new ongoing series. People like it. So far, it's written by Kelly Thompson, which we like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so basically what we've got are Cassandra Cain, Big Barda, Zealot, Harley Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
All
and
together.
Black Canary.
Well, yeah, with Dinah.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's in the kitchen.
With Dinah?
With Dinah.
If I don't get at least one of those jokes from Harley Quinn in this series, Kelly, I'm going to have words with Kelly.
Yep.
I need at least one. I don't need a lot of them. One joke, just one in this series will make me happy.
So yeah, Maps, Mizuguchi.
Mm-hmm.
Originally introduced among the ensemble of Gotham Academy.
Yes.
So there you go. That's what's new. I was digging deep for comic book news this week. I'm sorry.
There was nothing because they're gearing up for the con, so they're not releasing any news because they want to drop the news at New York Comic Con. And of course, the only thing we hear from New York, they're going to keep mum until New York Comic Con. So the only news we're getting from New York Comic Con is look at who's showing up. Come Starfuck. Yeah.
It's true.
Who are we talking about? Right, well, Hemsworth?
Let's do some reviews. What have you guys been reading this week? Let's start with Joss.
I found time, you guys, to read 4 comic books. Now, don't get too excited. It wasn't 4 separate titles. But I did read all of Daredevil and Echo again, such a fan of the short series. This one was such a fun story. Mm-hmm. It was just a fun story. It was, it had, you know, his, it was history. It was current. It was just so fun. I know that I love the character of Echo. I always have. When she was introduced in Daredevil, of course we all know that I'm like a giant Daredevil fan, but this one, I don't know how else to describe it. They team up and there is an ancient evil that their ancestors didn't take care of. And now Echo and Daredevil have to. And so, it was great. Pick it up, read it. 'Cause I really enjoyed it. But that's all I managed to read out of that giant stack of mine, that I still need to finish taking care of. What did you get read this week, Jeff?
Yes.
Aldous Huxley's Brave New World, which I've read in its original prose, has been on my banned bookshelf at work over at Dr. Volt's, where we sell banned books.
Yes.
And I hadn't picked this up before. So mm-hmm. I thought to do so, have done so. I am edified by the experience, and I think other people ought to pick it up as well.
Mm-hmm.
Just as an aside, by the way, we restarted book club at Dr. Volt's. We're doing book club on September 27th, 6 p.m. at the Dr. Mm-hmm. Volt's. We're going to be talking about Mr. Miracle, Tom King's Mr. Miracle.
Okay.
So if you've read it, join us, will you? If you haven't, swing by. I got a bunch of copies to make sure we had enough. Mm-hmm. And we'd like to see you. The folks that have already RSVP'd are fun and entertaining. And if you don't know them yet, you will. September 27th. So, yeah, that's what I've read this week was Huxley's Brave New World. Otherwise, I found myself too busy to pick up other fun things.
Fair.
Yeah, what about you?
For me this week, I was able to get the final issue of Parker Girls from Terry Moore, issue 10 of Parker Girls. This has been just a great series by Terry Moore. You know, it's in his universe, involving his central characters of Francine and Cachou. And I have not read a more satisfying mystery story from Mr. Moore until this one. This was just delightful, absolutely satisfying in every way. Basically, you've got an Elon Musk character that they're having to deal with, who they suspect murdered one of the Parker girls. And if once you're a Parker girl, once you've got that Lily tattoo on you, on your body, that's it. You know, your sister's for life, and they're gonna get their revenge. And it is just delightful, absolutely delightful. Well done. When Terry Moore does this all, this is entire 100% him. He draws everything. He writes the story, draws the story, distributes the books himself through Abstract Studios is his company. He distributes this, every penny made off of these books comes back to him, basically. So yeah, that's how he keeps himself going. And it was delightful.
That's awesome.
I also read, Ms. Marvel, The New Mutant. Mm-hmm. By Iman Vellani and some other people. And okay. I love Ms. Marvel. Don't get me wrong. And I love Iman Vellani. So the trope is Kamala, they don't know that, nobody knows that she's a mutant. And so she has been given an opportunity to go and do kind of a college thing at my old alma mater, Empire State University. And so she goes to ESU to, and the whole intention is this whole science fair thing that she's going to is being sponsored by the people that have basically, by the corporation that's basically caused the fall of the mutants with the last Hellfire Gala, where they got attacked by Stark level, Tony Stark level Sentinels, because what's his name took over Stark International. So, and he's part of this group. So she's there to infiltrate and see what's going on. So she goes to her first team meeting. She's walking through some sewers.
Like you
an
do.
Alligator comes at her. And then Kate Pryde comes out of the wall, says a few things to her, and then just disappears. And we don't see her again. She's not there at the team meeting. And I'm like, did you just throw in Shadowcat to throw in Shadowcat? I mean, are you not going to make her part of this? Because that really bugged me. I'm like, she could mentor the whole thing. But the fact is that, you know, so she gets there and it's Sync and another character who are talking to her about the mission. And then she goes back up, winds up having to rescue everyone from someone who's trying to kill them. And once they see her in her new costume, which is clearly an X-Men costume, now all of a sudden she's a villain. And I was like, boy, that's kind of out of left field when you consider what Kamala has done for the, you know, Marvel Universe, you know, since becoming a champion and everything. So yeah, it felt a little out of left field. I would have loved to have seen, of all the people they, you know, she's overhearing talk shit about her. I would have loved to have heard someone say, or not have her hear someone say, you know, I really love her. I don't think, you know, I think she saved us all or whatever, you know, one of those things. Right. But we didn't get that. So a little heavy handed overall in the story. But I still love Ms. Marvel, so I'm going to see where it goes. I knew I was going to like this book. I didn't know I was going to like it this much. Birds of Prey number one, Kelly Thompson and Romero. Romero's artwork, let's start with that. Fuck yeah. So good. Right up there with some of my favorite artists that draw like this, like Doc. And what's his name who did the Darwin Cook, who passed away not too long ago. It's got that kind of feel, and I love it. It works so well. It looks so good. The team they put together, the recruitment of the teams, you know, Batgirl, and every character is getting hit exactly right. Like, Batgirl is exactly... The Cassandra Cain Batgirl is exactly what I wanted to see in the character. Big Barda is exactly how I wanted to see Big Barda portrayed. And then when they go to recruit Harley, she's like, whatever it was, I didn't do it. And Harley is exactly Harley, and she's writing Harley exactly the way you should write Harley. So a really good little piece. The idea is that Black Canary's adopted sister, Sin, has been kidnapped, and they've got to break some laws and some rules to, you know, get her back. And enough of them are jumping in for this that it's just really cool. Like, even Harley's, you know, Harley was not going to join the team, and then she finds out what the mission is, and she's like, yeah, I'm not going to let a little girl go through that. And so she's like, I'm in. And it's just a really cool little piece. So... this one is going to be a kick-ass series with whatever Kelly does with it. She's starting out strong, and I hope it just stays this strong. Do I want to see all these characters stick around? Kind of, yeah. Do I want to see some other characters come in? Yeah, absolutely. But the characters they've got, yeah, it's really cool. Oh, and nobody's allowed to tell Barbara about this. That's kind of a thing. Can't tell Barbara. So we'll see how that works out for them. Barbara's nice. Going to find out, because she always does.
Well,
yeah. Good series so far. But today is Tuesday. That means tomorrow's Wednesday. It's time to give our picks of the week.
You only say hello so you can say goodbye. These two words must make your life complete. You pick out the hearts that break to make your ego high. And I was just your pick of the week.
Okay, Joss, start us out. Mainstream or indie?
No, we're going to go indie to start off with from IDW Publishing. I want to pick up Killmore, number one. The city of Colonia is suffering from total economic collapse. But worse than the unemployment and urban decay is the skyrocketing homicide rate. Most of the cops left on the force think it's just another symptom of the city's decline. But one detective has a darker theory, that the most depraved killers in the country have all moved to take advantage of the chaos. As he and his new partner dig deeper into their rapidly growing list of open cases, they'll find themselves in the crosshair of a growing group of maniacs who realize the best way to stay ahead of the cops in a city full of killers is to kill more. Nothing can prepare you for Lady Face Smasher, the Sufferer, the obituary machine, and more. Lock your doors and journey into the mouth of madness. I don't know. It just sounds intriguing to me that this city is, like, being inundated with serial killers. So, why not?
I'm on board with the serial killer pun names. Those are fun.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Right. So, there is my indie pick of the week. My indie pick for November is much more serious and sounds kind of less fun, but very important. It is also from IDW, actually. It is called Transitions by Elodie Durand. And it is a mom who learns that her 19-year-old is a transgender man. Mm. And she struggles with her son's new identity. Nonfiction, it's going to be, you know, it's a story that I think everybody should read. I don't even know how good this specific story is. But anytime that we can open up the conversation to anybody about acceptance when it comes to especially the trans community, which is something that I have very strong ties to, I think that it's a good thing. Mm-hmm. And I think bringing light to it is very, very important. So this one is, it's a 1999. It's a book. It's a trade paperback. So it's not a single issue, but I'm going to make sure and pick it up. And I'm going to probably try and keep it in my office and let people borrow it at will, just to help. I hope with some education. So those are my indie picks. How about you, Jeff? What's your indie pick of the week?
Yeah, it's a great question. I'm glad you asked.
I bet you are glad that I asked that.
Indie picks this week. We Are Not Strangers from Abrams Comic Arts.
Oh.
And for some reason, the page is loading really slow. So I will vamp. Yeah, but yeah, it's based on a true story. Marco Calvo, always knew his grandfather, affectionately called Papo, was a good man. He was named after him. First generation Jewish immigrant, Papo is a hardworking, smart, and caring. When Papo's peacefully passes away, Marco expected the funeral to be simple. However, he's caught off guard by something unusual. Among his close family and friends are mourners he doesn't recognize, Japanese-American families. No one's quite sure who they are or why they're at the service. How did these strangers know his grandfather so well? This is cool. I like this idea.
Yeah.
So, We Are Not Strangers explores a unique situation of Japanese and Jewish Americans living side by side during World War II. So that one looks great. We'll definitely be bringing that one in. And then Boom Studios is bringing back Simon Spurrier's Coda. My guess is it's got to be a new story since we've already read a Coda. And when it came out a few years ago, what an amazing fucking series. So I'm looking forward to this. This comes out this week. And then my future indie from Dark Horse, Barnstormers, A Love Story. By what's his name? The Scott Snyder fella. High-flying post-World War I era historical fiction. This is a graphic novel that's an intimate portrait of love and war and a meditation on the dangerous level of trust required in both romance and aviation. I love it. I love it. I read the first one when it came out last month, and it was fantastic. Oh, it was good. So I'm looking forward to that. All right. What about you, sir?
My indie picks this week. For this week, I'm looking forward to The Cull number 2 coming out. Kelly hooked me in the first issue. I am excited to read the second issue. And then from IDW, we get Star Trek Picard's Academy number 1 coming out. This one is Jean-Luc Picard. It says, was an ordinary student at Starfleet Academy with sights on the stars. His path forward was charted, blow his classmates out of the water on the infamous evasive maneuvers exam, and graduate early. But there's a detail Cadet Picard hadn't factored into his plans. The exam was a group project, and he'd need to make friends with people if he stood a chance at passing. Federation starships aren't run by a party of one, after all. So I guess this is pre kind of who we know Picard to be when he was at the Academy, because we learn a lot about, we kind of learn it through some backstories in the series, as well as in the episode Tapestry, where he did have two solid friends when he graduated. So maybe this is leading up to that, where he'll get those two solid friends. I guess we'll find out. And then my indie pick for November is also Star Trek, Star Trek number 14. Captain Sisko and the crew of the Theseus team up with Starfleet operative Kingsnake, a.k.a. Harry Kim. Has he been promoted finally to stop the war-lovings in Kethi from launching their fleet across the quadrant? So, yeah, this is leading into a new adventure for Captain Sisko and crew. But, yeah, we get to see Harry Kim. And I kind of wish Pat was here today because she'd be cheering right now.
Yeah, she would be.
She would be cheering. Mainstream picks this week. For this week, I'm looking at Avengers Incorporated number 1 by Al Ewing and Leonard Kirk. This one focuses on Janet Van Dyne, the Wasp, the original Wasp. She's hunting a killer. His name is Victor Shade, who we know is was the civilian identity of the Vision. So I'm very intrigued. I want to know what the fuck this is about. And I love it when Al Ewing kind of flips things on its head like this. So I'm looking forward to that one. And then from DC Comics, World's Finest Teen Titans number 3. Chris Sammy cover here. It's just fantastic. But the main illustration inside by Emanuela Lupacino is the kind of illustrations I like we had with Birds of Prey and that. So it looks really good. And I've enjoyed this kind of retelling of the Teen Titans where, like, Robin was forbidden by Batman to tell anybody his secret identity. And they're like, what the fuck's wrong with you, man? And they think he's just the biggest and most uptight jerk in the world. But really, he's got Batman just breathing down his neck the whole time about the whole thing. So it looks like a lot of fun. And they go to a con. So that's fun, too. And then my future pick, also from DC Comics, coming out in November, Outsiders number 1 by Jackson Lansing and Colin Kelly. This is Batman protects Gotham City from evil. Batman Incorporated protects the rest of the known world. But what of the unknown world? What of the ancient evils and hidden tombs and forgotten tragedies from magic and mad science-fueled superheroic century? Using his fortune, Luke Fox launches a new organization dedicated to the shining light into the world's darkest corners. His first recruit, Kate Kane, the Batwoman, who will re-embrace her military background to protect Luke's dream and encounter every bit of strangeness that DCU has to offer. And just wait until you meet the third man or learn what universe-shattering secret they discovered buried under Antarctica. So this is basically it's the Batgirl television series, but taken, you know, going to a different extreme. And I like that. I like that because Luke Fox and Kate Kane worked together in the Batwoman television series that they did. So I think this is going to take us, that's giving us that team up again. But at the same time, we're going to see what else they do with it. I'm pretty excited about it. And the fact that it's Kate Kane coming back. So more Kate Kane. So that is my picks for my mainstreams. How about you, Jeff?
Mainstreams, picking up this week, Marvel's Alligator Loki number 1.
That almost went on my list.
Yep.
There's just no reason for me not to.
Right.
What else did I get? Batman, Gargoyle of Gotham. This is Raphael Grandpa. I don't know how you say his name. It's spelled Grandpa. You know,
I'm going with Grandpa.
Yeah, it's got a little doodle there over the A, but as far as my English lit degree goes, Grandpa.
Yeah.
Grandpa. Yeah, anyway, looks like a really dark-ass Batman story. And I do like those.
True.
Quite a bit. So those are the ones I'm looking forward to. And then my pick of the future for mainstream is going to have to be DC versus Vampires Volume 1. One of those titles that the people that are reading it will not be quiet about how much they love it.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't start talking about it until issue 3.
Right.
Yeah. Rude.
You know. So get it in your hold. Remember, we're telling you these November picks to get them in your hold. Because your friendly neighborhood comic shop is going to order the number of comics plus a few more that they think they're going to be able to sell. But they're going to order the number of comics that have been ordered by their subscribers, their people with holds, and then they'll order a few more just to think, well, this may sell this well, or this may sell this well. And you may miss it if you don't get it when we tell you to. So get these in your holds.
Yeah. Right. Otherwise, you got to wait the 2 weeks that used to be, I guess, somewhat reasonable. And mm-hmm. now in the days of Amazon makes me wonder how the fuck brick and mortar stores are staying afloat.
Yep.
Yep. But DC versus Vampires Volume 1, you can order that in November. Actually, I think you can order it now.
You can order it now. Yeah.
So collects DC Vampires 1 through 6.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah. So how about you, buddy?
I'm going to switch this up, and I'm going to give you my weekly pick last, because it's going to be a shocker, you guys. So my November pick, though, that I want to pick up is Luke Cage Gang War, number 1 of 4, only because I am a huge fan of the Defenders overall. I like those street-level characters. They, you know, reading Daredevil, you see Luke Cage a lot. You see Danny Rand come in a lot. And New York is going to descend into a gang war. And Luke Cage has been trying to save the city from behind a desk in the wake of the Anti-Vigilante Act. Mm-hmm. So we're going to see what happens with this new gang war descending. Again, short series, 1 of 4. I'm a huge fan of that format. But here's my shocker, you guys. For this week, in my hold, picking up Daredevil number 1 from Salad and Ahmed. I knew you guys would all be shocked by that.
What?
I will say, though, that Avengers Inc. made it onto my list as well, and Alligator Loki almost did. Mm-hmm. But here's the sad, sad story, though, you guys. I am not current on Daredevil. I have not read the last 2 issues from Zdarsky.
Oh.
And here's why. Here's my sad story. I don't know if it's really that sad. But when I organized all my comics last week, and I went to sit down, and I was like, oh, I got the last Daredevil. I'm gonna sit down, I'm gonna read it. And I always read the issue before, and I realized I didn't pick up the issue before the last issue. And so I emailed my buddy Braxton at Dr. Volts, and I said, hey Braxton, will you see if you guys still have a copy of this? I can't find mine. I'm sure I picked it up. And cute Braxton said, oh my gosh, according to our records, you didn't ever even get it. I must not have gotten it into your hold. And so Braxton has solved that problem for me. I just now have to get down to Dr. Volts to pick it up, so that I can be up to date. So I guess now I'm going to make it a goal to get there this week, because the new series is starting from.
Yeah, you're going to have a marathon read.
I'm going to have a marathon Daredevil read ahead of me. Yep. But Daredevil is born again, it says. Born again with an exclamation point. Salad and Ahmed and Aaron Cooter are teaming up on this one. They're going to take Matt Murdock on a knockout of an adventure. Where does Elektra fit into all this? What is the future of Hell's Kitchen? Romance, intrigue, and of course action, all delivered in the mighty Marvel manner.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, the tag tells us nothing about where they're going on this storyline, and I love that because I just want to go in blind, so I'm going to. It's great. So those are my picks.
Awesome. Anything else this week, kids?
Nothing from me.
All right.
Join us at Book Club.
What's that?
Join us at Book Club.
Mm-hmm. Join us at Book Club. Yeah. And I will remind everybody to join us on Patreon. Join our Patreon squad at patreon.com/dfanmedia. Good low prices. You get 2 for the price of 1. Got to do it. There's no reason not to. And joining our Patreon squad helps us keep this show coming to you for free. That's all there is to it. This week on Patreon, we've got a list.
Woo-woo!
The top 57 episodes of Star Trek.
I don't think we're going through the whole list today.
I don't think we're doing the whole list.
Okay. No. But I can say I'm not happy with this list. As a mega Star Trek fan, I am not happy with this list. So, of course, we have to go through the list. We will probably cover a few of the... We'll cover until we're like, okay, that's enough. Of these top 57 episodes, and we'll pick it up the following week. Unless there's a really big story we got to cover in Patreon. So I will say, as I always do, until you throw Kitty Pryde in just to throw her in, make mine Marvel.
For Hell's Kitchen.
For Stan.
For Asgard.